Many elected officials continue to clash over the causes of the federal government's partial shutdown and the blame for the stalemate as well. This week, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sought the opinions of two Arkansans who have served in the U.S. House of Representatives, Jim Guy Tucker and Ed Bethune. Tucker, a Democrat, served one term in the House from the state's 2nd District before leaving for an unsuccessful bid for the U.S. Senate. Bethune, a Republican, followed Jim Guy Tucker into the 2nd District seat and served for 6 years. Tucker later became governor but resigned the office in 1996. It should be noted that Roby Brock has a connection to both of his guests. He worked for Jim Guy Tucker when he was governor, and Ed Bethune is a close friend of Roby's family. Finally, the two men have a connection beyond their shared congressional history. They faced each other in a race for attorney general in November 1972.
Jim Guy won. He carried 72 of the 75 counties, but my distinction in that race was I carried my home county and his home county where they knew us best.
All right. Well, I would like for our viewers to also realize that because you guys have had some distinguished political careers, there is life after politics. So catch us up on what you guys have been doing. Ed, you go first. Tell me what you've been up to.
Well, I stay pretty busy. My latest adventure is to help the Ozark Society. We're trying to stop that hog farm that the state has permitted up in Mount Judea. We can't let hog doings get into the buffalo. It'll absolutely kill the tourism business in Arkansas. So I've been working on that. Anything that relates to the wilderness, I've been involved in because I wrote the Wilderness Act for Arkansas. Dale passed it in the Senate. I passed it in the House. We got President Reagan to sign it. So I'm very committed to that. Takes a lot of time.
And you've been writing a novel, too.
I have. I just finished a novel, which I hope will do well. I think it will. People seem to like it, the readers so far. Did a memoir a couple of years ago, which Jim Guy is in there. So that was a fun exercise. And then, of course, I've been involved almost 50 years now with this effort of trying to build a two-party system in Arkansas. And by the way, we're doing pretty well.
There you go. There you go. Jim Guy, how about you? What have you been up to, life after politics?
Well, somewhat like Ed, I've been involved in a lot of volunteer activities. I'm an elder in a church, a big Second Presbyterian church, and that takes a lot of time. I'm on a governor's commission to provide broadband to all the public mm-hmm. schools in the state, high capacity internet, which we're 50th in the nation on that right mm-hmm. now. Racial discrimination and criminal sentencing commission that's out at UALR mm-hmm. and nanotech out there. Mm-hmm. And then I invested in a vaccine company about 6 or 7 years ago and with a fellow from Forest City, Bill Bridgeforth, who's
sure,
now, over in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And we've created vaccines for E. coli, Salmonella, Campylobacter, and Emeria and licensed them to some large companies for animal use. We kept the human rights, and someday I may get a check from them that I get to use. But it's been a lot of fun to do that.
All right. You're both former members of Congress, so I asked you guys to come in here. I want to talk about what's been going on up in Washington, D.C. with the federal government shutdown, the budget impasse up there. And Jim Guy, I'll come to you first. Tell me, what's your take on what's going on in Washington, D.C.?
Well, this is a departure from most of the history of Congress. Generally, with a couple of exceptions, the last one I think was in '96 between then Speaker and Bill Clinton,
mm-hmm.
When we had a government shutdown over the continuing resolution. I don't recall an edge of the cliff decision on the debt limit, and a lot of people think the debt limit has to do with new spending. And it doesn't. It has to do with paying the bills we've already incurred. And so when you start messing with the debt limit, now you're talking about the full faith and credit of the United States not being what it's supposed to be and violating a constitutional mandate that we pay our bills. Hopefully that won't become an issue this go round, but we're perilously close to it. And that's something I think both Republicans and Democrats who are anywhere near the moderate range of the spectrum feel very strongly should not be violated. The continuing resolution is something that's very important, but it's how the government runs. And there are genuine folks who see it under the current circumstances as a necessary bargaining tool for policy goals they want to accomplish. The unfortunate thing, in my viewpoint, is the current controversy technically, and Ed, I know you'll correct me if I'm off on this, but technically it arises from the fact that the Republican caucus in the House operates under a rule where you cannot take a bill to the floor unless a majority of the Republican caucus agrees to it.
A majority of the majority party.
A majority of right. the majority party. So essentially, 120 approximately Republican votes, about 27% of the Congress, can prevent something going to the floor that has majority support in the Congress and would pass. And that's where we are right now, I think, pretty clearly. A combination of moderate Republican votes and probably unanimous Democratic votes would pass it, but the Speaker cannot bring it out of that caucus yet. I hope he'll be able to soon.
Ed, I'd like to get your take on it. What do you see happening?
Well, I have a little bit different view of it. I don't think that the Speaker is married to the so-called Hastert rule. And in this instance, I do not know, and I'm quite confident that you do not know, nor does Roby, nor anyone else, just how the Republican members would vote if the matter was brought to the floor. We make some of these observations based on media reports, and those are based on something that a congressman may or may not have said firsthand or secondhand, so I don't go there. Look, what I'd rather contribute here, if I may, to this discussion is, rather than to get focused on who's at fault here and where the blame should be fixed, that's not a good way to make policy. A better way to look at this is, what is it? What is the policy that the Republicans seem to be searching for? And they're saying they'll fund everything in government, but what they are urging the Democrats to do is join with them to delay the Affordable Care Act for 1 year. That seems to me to be eminently reasonable, in as much as it doesn't seem to be working. There are a lot of bugs in it. And the president has already said to businesses that they can be exempt from coverage. But why not individuals? Why not delay this a year for the individuals as well as for the businesses? And then the other piece of it that they're asking for is for members of Congress, senators and congressmen, to live under the same law that the poor young fellow who's 27 with a family of four is going to have to pay for his insurance. They're going to get a subsidy to help them with theirs. They should have to face the same music that the young family does. And so that's what they're asking for. It seems to me that would be, that's a good policy ask.
Let me pitch another question to you guys, maybe harken back to your time in Congress. We see such a divided government right now and such a rancor up there in Washington, D.C. It doesn't seem to me, and maybe I'm just remembering the good old days, that it wasn't that partisan. Why do you think things have gotten as partisan as they've gotten? Jim Guy?
Well, the occasional fits of dramatic partisanship are not unusual in the history of the United States Congress, sometimes when only two parties were there and sometimes more parties. But in recent years, in part due to redistricting that has focused very heavily on making certain districts absolutely fixed and very hard to defeat an incumbent, you've gotten radical members elected just to the right, and there have been times and still today where some to the left are elected, but there's enough far-right members, Tea Party and related members of the Republican Party today, that are a departure, in my view, from the, what I consider a generally moderate history of the Republican Party, of starting back with Eisenhower, at least, that makes it very difficult for the moderates to have the voice they should. For example, I think the easy answer to your question, Ed, on whether in fact the bill would pass, the continuing resolution would pass, is let it out of the House caucus and let them have a vote, and we'll see. I mean, it either will or it won't, but the Republican leadership has refused to do that. This partisanship we have right now, I believe, is very destructive, and especially when it's dealing with continuing resolutions for the operation of the government and the obligation of the country to pay its debts. And Ed may have some reason for it that I don't have, but yeah. I think it's bad.
What's your take on this part of the issue?
I think I'd like to reach for a higher plane on this. I respect your viewpoint there, Jim Guy, but it's not useful to characterize the Republican Party as extremist, you know, or to say that it's the Tea Party. I mean, these are volatile words in today's media market. We don't get anywhere doing that. And when you do that, and then the next thing you do is say, can't we work together after denigrating a whole category of people? So I don't think that's a good way to approach it. I would rather look at this and try to understand what is it that is taking place. And what I see is this. There's definitely a distinction in philosophy between the Democrats and the Republicans, no doubt about it. Conservative on the one hand, Republicans, and liberal on the other hand, Democrats. And then I think it's plain to see that geography is a factor. You mentioned redistricting. But if you look at a map of the United States after the last election to show you where the votes came from in the House of Representatives races, what you will see is in the big cities are blue. Just scattered around the country. The big cities are blue. That's where the Democrat representatives are coming from. The rest of the country is red, and that's where the Republican representatives are coming from flyover country. Arkansas happens to be in that area. So you've got geography, you've got philosophy, and now you have, and why is it different today? Because that divide is wider than it was, and now you have this pressure of the debt ceiling. Debt of $16 trillion, mm-hmm. new entitlement programs, Affordable Care Act being the latest and biggest of the entitlement programs. These things have to be dealt with, and that creates pressure. And so I think that is a better way to explain it than to point fingers at one side or the other and then say, let's work together.
Well, of course, that's what you just did. You said you've got conservatives and liberals. And
well,
I'm saying there are moderates. And on each side, there are extremists within each party, mine and yours.
You didn't say that to begin with.
No, the Tea Party and the minority of the majority. The minority of the Republican Party, and it has been times when it was a minority of the Democratic Party. And it's terribly unfortunate. We should be reaching the moderate level. But whatever the situation is, we cannot say we will not pay debt that we have already incurred, and that's what the debt limit's about. Yeah. So that's not a moderate, I'm a liberal or conservative, that's the Constitution.
All right, the easy answer for you guys on this last question right here, open seat in the second congressional district comes up in the next year or two. Who wins in a rematch between Jim Guy Tucker and Ed Bethune?
That's easy. Jim Guy will answer that one for you.
I am out of politics.
Such a political answer. Such a political answer.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, speaking with two Arkansans who served in the U.S. House of Representatives, Democrat Jim Guy Tucker and Republican Ed Bethune. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York, online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.